Even to the statement that pecuniary profit is not an object of this corporation.
Very good. You have the objectives listed, have you not?
Yes, under Article 2. Would you like to hear them?
Please.
The objects of this corporation shall be, 1, to provide courses that will help students gain a wholesome view of religion and to create an interest and efficiency in religious activities. 2, to promote a thoughtful insight into the nature and meaning of religion and to lay a foundation for religious education. 3, to create an expectancy for men and women to choose religious callings as a vocation and to begin their preparation for such work. 4, to provide graduate courses toward advanced degrees for those looking toward positions of highest leadership. And 5, to serve the people of Iowa in all their religious interests by training religious leaders and teachers.
Excellent. We shall legally incorporate under these articles immediately.
Thus, the idea and plan were incorporated into a living organization. The experiment in understanding was ready to begin its work on the campus at Iowa. It was only natural that, at the beginning, a Jewish professor, a Catholic professor, and a Protestant professor might have a little trouble in embodying this great idea into a curriculum. But here, too, tolerance and understanding played their part. And as time went on, the path became smoother and the school flourished. The very idealism of the venture made things easier for all concerned. Of course, there were many differences of opinion between the professors, as was to be expected. Unity was achieved by doing nothing except by common consent, and strangely enough, this policy provided much to do. The experiment in understanding, through the cooperation and understanding of its own faculty members, was off to a flying start.
Marge, registered yet?
No, but I'm going down to the union right now and get it over with.
Fine, I'll walk down with you. Hey, Marge, have you heard about the School of Religion that just started? I hear they're letting people sign up for courses.
Really? Say, I hadn't heard anything about it. What courses are offered?
Oh, don't know exactly. Jerry Blake was telling me about it. I guess Bible courses and stuff like that.
Say, that sounds kind of interesting. Guess I'll look into it. I need another 3-hour course.
Jerry said he was going to take it. He says that the idea behind it is to teach kids something about other religions. You can't tell. Might even sign up for a course myself.
Well, good. Maybe there's a course we can take together.
Students began signing up for the courses. It was a good sign that the venture had a healthy start. And then, in 1930, the school began to branch out. Of course, it was still being developed on the curricular side, but it also started expanding in the direction of the extracurricular religious life of the campus. The word tolerance can be defined and explained explicitly in a classroom, and yet not lead to complete understanding. It helps students to understand, true, but the practical application must not be ignored. And this is where the emphasis on extracurricular activities came in. Also, a greater number of students could be reached through the activities that went on outside the classroom. So it was only natural that this trend was recognized and applied by the School of Religion. There was one other great reason for this turning to new fields.
President Jessup, we represent all of the campus youth religious organizations. We have a petition to present to you.
Mm-hmm, and with what does this petition concern itself?
We are asking, sir, that a committee be appointed to study the religious life of the campus. A committee to make appropriate recommendations as to what should be done to further integrate and consolidate extracurricular activities here at Iowa.
Why, I think that's a fine idea. That sounds like a good petition. I shall appoint a committee at once, of which you'll be chairman. Now, let's see. The committee should represent every religious group on campus.
President Jessup, the committee investigating the religious life on campus would like to make its report.
Very well, proceed.
The essence of our report and recommendation is this. We should like to request that the School of Religion do 2 things. First, suggest the best forms of cooperation among the religious groups of the campus, And second, provide for a continuous study of the whole problem of religion in the university.
And so it was that the students themselves began to take an active interest in all phases of the work being accomplished by this experiment. And the school grew. Mr. Rockefeller made another and larger grant to enable the school to set up and maintain a laboratory in the extracurricular religious life on the campus. The word tolerance was gradually emerging from the dictionary. As the years went by, the School of Religion became more and more integrated with the university as a whole. In 1933, a new course was added to the curriculum. It was a course for freshmen entitled Religion and Ethics, and it was presented cooperatively by the School of Religion and the Department of Philosophy. The process of understanding and cooperation had gone beyond the school itself and was being evidenced over a broader field. And then, in 1934, another course was added to the curriculum.
Hey, Bill, wait a minute.
Well, hello, George. What's new?
Nothing much. Have a nice summer?
Oh, I sure did. Yeah, it's kind of nice to get back to school, though.
Yeah. Have you registered yet?
No, not yet. I'm going to pretty soon. Say, George, have you heard about this new course the School of Religion is offering this year for upperclassmen and graduates?
The one on marriage? Yeah, I heard about it.
You going to sign up for it?
Nah, I'm not married.
Well, you might be someday, you know. I'm not married. I'm going to take it.
Well, that's your hard luck. What good's it going to do you?
Well, I think it'll be a pretty good course. Dr. Young is directing it, but they're going to have visiting lecturers from other departments on the campus, too. It sounds comprehensive enough to me.
Well, maybe so. I might have a look at it.
And so the curriculum was expanded and broadened over a wider area. More and more students began taking the courses. The experiment in understanding was surpassing even its own expectations. The School of Religion had one more large obstacle to hurdle, and that was the financial one. In 1935, Mr. Rockefeller's second grant of money was exhausted, and this concluded his direct contribution to this great experiment. But the Davison Fund, which Mr. Rockefeller founded, decided to finance the administration of the school for two more years, provided that some effort be made to secure permanent financial aid from some other source. This made a total of 10 years that the administration of the school had been supported directly and indirectly by Mr. Rockefeller. This financial assistance was invaluable. Indeed, without it, the school would not have started, at least when it did. But possibly its greatest service was to pave the way for the university itself to take the position that it can well afford to support the administrative and strictly non-sectarian phases of an idea. An idea so broadly conceived and so essential to all that culture and education mean. And so it was decided to seek the support of state funds.
Well, gentlemen. Gentlemen, I believe we have arrived at some definite conclusions as concerns this problem of supporting the administration of the School of Religion with public funds of the state. Will the secretary please read what we have decided in regard to this proposal?
The school was founded on the fundamental principle that the responsibility for the development of religious education in a tax-supported institution should be shared by church and state. State funds should be used only for the administrative and general work of the school and not for the support of the Catholic, Jewish, or Protestant professorships. This is thought to be in strict accord with the doctrine of the separation of church and state as defined in the First Amendment to the Federal Constitution. It prohibits the state from favoring any particular church or form of religion, but not from supporting religion in a way that is fair to all religious groups. Protection against any undesirable interference by the university with the free teaching of religion is provided in the school's Board of Trustees, on which the churches must have at least 50% membership and may have 60%.
The School of Religion was at last firmly established and thriving on the campus at the State University of Iowa. Now it was free to continue the great experiment of understanding in all activities, both curricular and extracurricular, on the campus. At the present time, the School of Religion is more than ever making itself indispensable to the students and citizens of the university in the state of Iowa. Every morning except Sunday at 8 o'clock, for example, morning chapel is presented over the university's radio station. This program features a different speaker each week, making the rounds of all the faiths. Students in the School of Religion also participate on this program. And every Wednesday, another well-established program is heard.
At this time every Wednesday, we present your religious news reporter, bringing news from throughout the country and around the world about religion and the news. And here is your reporter, the administrative director of the School of Religion, Dr. M. Willard Lamp.
Thank you, and good afternoon, friends. I heard a true story the other day, which, to my mind, is rather illustrative of the state of intolerance existing in our nation today. There was an advertisement which appeared in...
It is impossible to enumerate all of the many and varied activities that the School of Religion sponsors and directs. A few of the more important ones include interfaith meetings, personal counseling, acting as advisors to campus religious groups, and sponsorship of periods of special religious emphasis on the campus at Iowa. All of these and many more serve to give the students a practical concept of what understanding and tolerance should mean to us all. The reach of the school's influence, either on the campus or over the country, is impossible to estimate. Perhaps one indication of its influence is the fact that over 50 students who have studied in the school have gone into full-time religious work. Another splendid bit of evidence is the fact that the different religious groups on the Iowa campus get along so well together nowadays. The School of Religion is not content to rest on its laurels, but goes forward today in the never-ending fight against the enemies of tolerance and understanding. The present staff, headed by Dr. Lamp, and composed of Dr. Judah Golden, Father J. Ryan Beiser, Reverend O.D. Foster, and Dr. Marcus Bach, backed by the understanding men of the Board of Trustees and a sympathetic university administration under President Virgil M. Hancher, is going forward with greater plans for the future. For 20 years, the School of Religion has done its part in the university's century of service, in the teaching and fostering of the ideals of tolerance to the students at Iowa, an achievement in understanding.
You have listened to the last in a series of centennial broadcasts, which have been presented by the State University of Iowa. Those taking part were Louise Hutchinson, Bob Ray, Otto Slake, Pat Pope, and Herb Olson, who also wrote the script. Clay Harshbarger directed. This program came to you from the studios of WHO, Des Moines. Get and keep those early gains.